This morning we're going to be in chapter 19 of Proverbs. And again, what is Proverbs all about? It's a roadmap of instruction to how to live your life. Okay? It's not a book of poetry like a lot of people like to teach. It's not about poetry. It's about wisdom of how to live your life in the midst of all this turmoil. Okay. In fact, the word Proverbs, what does it mean? It means a parable. They just put the fancy word proverb, but it means parable. And a parable is something that's trying to teach you something, isn't it? Okay. Starting with verse 1. Better is the poor that walks in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good, and he that hastes with his feet sins. The foolishness of man perverts his way, and his heart frets against the Lord. Wealth makes many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, but he that speak lies shall not escape. Many will entreat the favor of a prince, and every man is a friend to him that gives gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, yet they are wanting to him. He that gets wisdom loves his own soul, and he that keeps understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speak lies shall perish. Delight is not seemly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as the dew upon the grass. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Slothfulness casts into deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He that keeps the commandment keeps his own soul, but he that despises his ways shall die. He that has pity upon the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given will he pay him again. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet you must do it again. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that you mayest be wise in your latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, and nevertheless the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hides his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. And reprove one that has understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wastes his father, and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorns judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Judgments are prepared for the scorners, and stripes for the back of the fools. Now let's go back and see what it says. That's King James Version. Literally it says this: better is the poor that lives in his innocence, his integrity or innocence, than he that is perverted in his language and is stupid. That don't sound very smooth, but that's the truth. It says if you live in your integrity or innocence, you're better than he that is perverse in his language and what? And is stupid. And literally, let me say it again, because I did miss a word there. There's a word there that shouldn't be the way it is. Better is the poor that lives in his integrity or his innocence than he that is perverted in his language. And the word and right there should be, and he himself is stupid. And he himself is stupid.
Watch your words.
Watch what you say. Doesn't the scripture say that a man's snared by the words of his mouth? Mm-hmm. What you say can come back and bite you. Okay, verse 2. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it's not good. See, that's all this is about, learning. Once you get this education, once you get this learning, this understanding or instruction in your mind, who can take it away from you?
No one.
Nobody. See, it's yours.
We were talking about.
That's the landmark you don't want removed. Yeah. And he that hastes with his feet or in his lifestyle doesn't sin, but he misses his goal. Now, Tom, you're a hunter. If you was running through the woods and saw a deer running through the woods and you was running after him, what's the chance of you getting to hit that thing on a dead run? You running and him running.
Slim to none.
Slim to none. So he says, slow down. That goes along with Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they will walk and not faint. See, the process is slowing down. Now that thing might be running, but if I slow down, I don't have to run with the world, do I? I can slow down and start to see things. I get the clear picture, I put the crosshairs on, and drop it. Even if it's running, you can do that. But when you're both running, you're not going to do it. It'd be one in a million shot, you know, to even get, be luck, wouldn't it? So don't be in a hurry about everything. Slow down your lifestyle. I'm not telling everybody to become a couch potato. Don't be a slug, you know, just do what you got to do. But think is what he's trying to do. Slow down your thinking process. Verse 3, the foolishness of the Adamic man perverts his lifestyle or his course of life. The foolishness of the Adamic man perverts his course of life. And his, not heart, but his mind doesn't fret, but his mind rages against the Lord. The natural man's always fighting the spiritual man. Always. There's no two ways about it. Didn't Paul write in Corinthians that the natural man receives nothing from the Spirit of God, neither can he, because it's spiritually discerned? Yeah. Natural man doesn't receive anything. And see, all the church is doing, run around and say, oh, the Lord did this, the Lord blessed me. The Lord. No, he didn't. That's the natural man you're talking about. He didn't bless anything in that natural man. See? The spirit man got blessed. When your spirit man gets blessed, the natural man then will get something.
The rain falls on the dust.
When it rains on you, it'll get you and that old man.
It's got to be in the right order.
It's got to be in the right order. The inside first, then the outside. When the inside's in order, it controls the outside, and everything else will work out. Okay. Wealth, in verse 4, makes many friends. You know, when you got a pocket full of money, you always got a bunch of vultures hanging around, haven't you? People ought to realize that. But the poor is separated from his neighbors. If you ain't got any money, nobody wants to deal with you, do they? That's the way of the world. It's like you're buying your friendship. And I know a lot of people that try that. I've got family members that try to buy friendship from everybody. Well, I don't care what they got or they don't got. It makes no difference to me. People is just people.
Is that friend? Did you look that word up, the friend?
No, I didn't. But you can look at it right there. You got it right there if you want to. I can't tell you, but I think it's correct or I would have changed it there if it wasn't. Verse 5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, or shall not be, and see, there's that thing about punishment. It literally says a false witness shall not be innocent. The language literally says innocent, not unpunished. And he that speaks lies shall not escape. Shall not escape what? It didn't say, did it? It's the condemnation in their own mind, isn't it? If you do something wrong, if you lie, and it comes back and gets you, God's not punishing you. Who's doing it? It's your own understanding. You know what you did, and you know it was wrong. That's you beating yourself up. God's not into condemnation. And doesn't Romans 8:1 say there's no condemnation to those in Christ? See? So if you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about that condemnation. Outside of Christ, guess what you got to do? You got to worry a lot about condemnation. But when you're in Christ, you don't have to worry about that. When you know who you are. Verse 6, many will entreat the favor, or literally the presence of the generous, is what it should say. Many will entreat the presence of the generous. Everybody wants somebody around that's always giving, 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 don't they? Isn't that the way of the world? They want people to always give them something. And every man is a friend to him that gives gifts. Oh, if somebody's passing it out, boys, they're right there to get it, aren't they? And that's the way the natural man is. They can't be a friend unless somebody's given something. There's got to be a benefit to it. Some prosperous or some, what am I trying to say the word? Something to multiply them or add to their wealth before your friends.
Build them up.
Builds them up, right. Verse 7, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. Yes, indeed, his friends withdraw from him. He pursues them with words, yet they are, literally it should say, gone. He's trying to talk to them, but they won't listen, see? Because the whole world has their eyes on what you wear, what you drive, and what you possess. How much money is in your bank account? Does that make a person a person?
No.
A person's what's inside of you. How do you treat other people? How do you respect yourself? That's just as important, isn't it? And that doesn't mean that you always show yourself favor about everything, but you don't do things that would disgrace you or your family members. That would be showing respect to yourself, wouldn't it? Where'd I leave off there? Eight. He that gets wisdom, and that is spiritual wisdom, not wisdom of the world. He that gets wisdom, spiritual wisdom, loves his own soul or his inner man. Well, see, because spiritual wisdom is for the inner man, not the outer man, correct? He that keeps understanding shall find what? God? Well, I should say. If you keep understanding, you'll really find God. You'll literally find the Word, won't you? You'll find the understanding. You'll find God in that knowledge of and understanding. A false witness shall not be innocent. Goes right back to verse 5 where it said it before, wasn't it? And he that speaks lies shall perish. Now, are we talking about the physical man or the spiritual man? First of all, spiritual man don't lie.
And it don't perish.
It can't. See, but you know who you're talking about here, because spiritual man can't lie. The spirit man is Christ in all people, isn't it? So can it lie?
No.
See, that spirit can't lie, but the natural man can. So that tells you we're speaking about the natural man. Okay? So the false witness shall not be, and that natural man means he will never be innocent. Flesh can never be perfected, can it? So we got to quit worrying about the flesh and worrying about the inner man, getting that right, and it'll take care of the outside. The internal controls the external. Verse 10. Delight is not a good word here. It should say luxury is not suitable for the stupid. You know why? Because they won't take care of it. There's people right around us right here. You could take them and put them in a mansion that was worth $1 million or $10 million, put them in luxury vehicles, give them the best clothes in the world, and it looked like a garbage dump just like what they live in right now in a few weeks. It's the truth.
You changed their surroundings.
You didn't change the way they think, did they? You took, what's the old saying? You can take the projects out of the, take the people out of the projects, but you can't take the projects out of the people. Okay? They're going to live that same style, lifestyle. And that's not everybody in there, but so many of them in there live that lifestyle. They just live in filth and, you know, trash. And I've been in people's homes. I mean, you can't even get in them. You can't see the floors. You can't open the doors from one room to the next. They just leave the doors all stand open because they won't clean up the trash. And that's what I'm talking about. Food wrappers, clothes, shoes, anything you can think of. Wherever they use it, they just leave it. And I've seen in some people with really well-to-do people, and they live that way.
Well, it's the discipline. They've never been disciplined.
They've never been disciplined from the time they was a child about cleaning up things.
We're working on that.
Yeah, everybody has to work on it. But, you know, there's a process, you know. And there's a time when it's okay to make a mess when you're doing things. When you get done, you clean it up. You don't leave it there 6 months later and just keep adding to it, you know, for the next 6 years or something like that. And I've seen people, well-to-do people, that was so bad that they couldn't get the doors open in their house, couldn't close the doors. The doors were open in all the bedrooms because you could not get in for the wrappers on the floor that deep, food wrappers. And that was in the adults and the children. That's sad. But I mean,
back to the comment that got a fellow in trouble a while back, he put lipstick on the pig, but you
Yeah, you still got a pig.
He got in a lot of trouble over
that. Well, that's the truth, but you know, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Okay? Okay, in verse 10 again. Luxury is not suitable for the stupid, much less a slave to have rule over princes. So a servant is not supposed to rule over the master, is he? But yet, you know how many people in the church world think they're going to rule over God? They act like they're ruling for God. God never told them to do those things. They're doing it because they want to be on the throne. Like Adam said in Isaiah, I'll sit on the sides of the north. I'll be like the Most High God. It's not going to work. Verse 11, discretion. A discretion, or literally, intelligence. It should be the intelligence of Adam, the Adam man, defers his anger. If a man literally has the intelligence, he will defer the anger. What does defer mean? He'll look over top of it. He'll let it go. See? He won't get angry. He won't lose his peace. And it is what? It's an attribute of God. It's what that language says. It's an attribute of God to pass over a transgression. To forgive is an attribute of God. See, not to say, well, okay, I'll forgive you this time. You do it again, I'll bust your lip. You know, that's not God. But you forgive something, and forgive is never hold them accountable for it again. Okay? Let it go. The king's anger is as a roaring of a young lion, but his favor is as the dew upon the grass, or the green grass. Now, there's words here that's been omitted that should be here. Like I said, the king's anger is as a roaring of a young lion. Not just a lion, but a young lion. A young lion is very unruly, undisciplined, very violent, much more violent than the older lion. The older lion has learned to discipline himself and use his energy wisely, hasn't he? The young lion just rants and raves. He says, but he said that's what the king's wrath is like. You can get the king mad, it's not good. That's what he's trying to tell you. But his favor is as a dew upon the green grass, not just grass, but the green grass. There's a difference between brown grass and green grass, isn't there? Brown grass is dead. So he's trying to say the favor of is as the dew upon the green grass, and green promotes life, doesn't it? Speaks of life. So the grass, and grass is flesh, we already spoke of that earlier, right? So when we say the living flesh, the favor of the Lord is the same as putting dew on that green grass. And what does dew do to the green grass? It moisturizes. It's the anointing upon that grass, isn't it? And that's the same as the anointing up upon our flesh when we're in the favor of God. He's making a parallel here, see, about it. What dew does to the grass is what the favor of God does to our flesh.
Our flesh or our spirit?
Flesh, because it said grass, remember?
Okay. Just questions.
Okay, verse 13. A stupid son, not a foolish, but a stupid son, is the ruin of his father. And the strife of a wife are a continual dripping. Now, you know what they call that thing when the torture thing, you talk about waterboarding? That Chinese water torture, drip, 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 drip on you, just aggravates you plumb silly. So what's it trying to tell you? Everybody first thinks, and there's a natural side to this thing, that if you're married and your wife and you are always fussing, fighting, she's always nagging at you, it's aggravating, okay? But what's he really trying to tell you? Let's go a little deeper. When I'm aggravated by that flesh that I have, it's a continual aggravation when I let her do what she wants to do. I'm not talking about my wife, I'm talking about my woman inside of me, my soul. See, my fleshly thinking instead of my spiritual thinking. It's an aggravation to me because I know it's not right. Correct? And it'll bother you constantly until you get her under control. We're not talking about a man versus a woman. We're talking about our spirit versus our female side, our soul. And there's a parallel for that in Proverbs 20. Well, there's one in 25 too. Let me see if I can get it here. Just a minute. Just.
Mine's in 21:9 about the housetop.
Yeah, that's one of them. Yep.
Dwell
21:19. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. That's our soul. Mm-hmm. And then there's also one in 25:24. It says it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Yeah. 25:24.
Oh, okay. I missed that one.
Yeah. And what it's saying is, it would be better to live without your soul, your woman.
Sure.
Now, what's that mean? Well, it'd be better to go ahead and die, because that's the only way you're separated from your woman, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be better to be dead than to live with that contentious woman. See? And you can take that natural, and you can take it spiritual.
Wasn't that also
being in yours? Yeah. If you, it'd be a welcome delivery too. Yeah. Okay. Verse 14. House and wealth are the not inheritance but the possession of fathers. And an intelligent wife is from the Lord. So see, I know my wife came from the Lord. I got my points in this morning, didn't I? Okay, but that's the truth, so I don't worry about it. Slothfulness. That word slothfulness literally means laziness. Laziness casts into a deep sleep. When you're lazy, you're going to miss a whole lot of things. It's going to pass you by. And an idle soul shall suffer hunger. If your flesh don't work, guess what? You're going to get hungry. Verse 16, he that keeps the commandments keeps his own soul, but he that despises the course of life shall die prematurely, is what it should say. See, they leave some of these words out. They don't put all the meanings in. They just put in the short version. They'll die. If I despise the way of life, and that's the way God has set up for each one of us, correct? See, my way of life is not your way of life, and vice versa. So if I despise the way God has chosen me to go, then whether it's rich or poor, it makes no difference. Whatever he chose, I should embrace that. Didn't Paul say we need to learn to be content in whatever lot we're in?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to know these things and say, okay, whatever Father wants, that's okay with me. Otherwise, when I despise what he wants, I'm going to die prematurely. Isn't that what it says?
Yeah.
You're going to die prematurely.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17, he that has pity upon the poor lends to the Lord, and that which he has given, he will restore to him. Restore to him. Okay? And hold on just a second. I need to make a little mark here to mark something for myself, my own understanding here. Okay, I'm ready. Verse 18. Chasten your son while there is hope, and let not your soul spare for his crying. Now let's go back and do this again, because that's not the way it should read. The word chasten should be discipline. Discipline the son while there is hope. And let not your emotions spare for the premature, and that word crying should be premature death by neglect of wise moral conduct. Now I'll say it again because that's a mouthful. Chasten your son or the son while there is hope, and let not your emotions spare, because of your emotions don't spare what's right, okay? Do what's right regardless of what you feel about it. Do what's right.
And that's what we always say. Do what's in your
heart.
Not
what's in your mind. Mm-hmm. Do what's in your heart. They say do what's in your heart. But do what's in your mind, what is right. Mm-hmm. And not to spare for his crying or the premature death by neglect of wise moral conduct. So if I refuse to do the wise moral conduct in my life, don't worry about it. If there's a premature death for it, I brought it on myself, didn't I? But the word crying should be premature death by neglect of wise moral conduct. If I don't live the right life, how can I expect it to be anything but premature death? That's what the book says in Galatians, isn't it? Okay. Verse 19, a man of great anger shall suffer penalties. You know what that penalty is? You'll be making mistakes all the time when you get angry. You'll hurt yourself. Your blood pressure, you know, everything will go crazy. All your system will go out of whack when you get angry. You get too much of that adrenaline pumping in your system and you don't think good. When you think with emotions, you're in trouble, aren't you? Because it says, a man of great wrath shall suffer, a great anger will suffer many penalties. Because if you deliver him, yet you must do it again. So, you know, just because he got mad, don't mean you should bail him out because he gets in trouble, should you? If you bail out a man with a great anger problem, what's the purpose of it? He's going to do it again until he gets himself disciplined. Bailing him out won't help him, will it? Verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction. Literally it says shama. That word hear should be shama. Hear with the intent, hear intelligently with the intent to respond positively to the counsel and receive what?
Instruction.
Or discipline. Receive that discipline that you, and cross out that word mayest there, cross out that you be wise when? And literally it says it this way, that you be wise the rest of your life. See, if you receive the instruction, that doesn't make sense to say I'll be wise at the end. If I receive the instruction now, when do I begin to become wise?
Right now.
For the rest of my life, correct? If I receive and retain this instruction of wisdom, I won't be stupid now and then get smart right before I die.
That's where the church misses that. They want to have that, what we were talking earlier, that rapture system, and that's when I'll be
perfected at the end when I get there.
No.
And it's not going to happen.
You missed the whole journey.
You missed the journey. You missed gathering up all this wisdom to assist you through here and to prepare you for the next life.
They use that as a permission slip.
To do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what they do.
Got to take care of it in the end.
Yeah, right.
Now I can do what I want.
Verse 21. There are many what? Devices in a man's heart or mind. Let's do it again. There are many intentions in a man's mind. Nevertheless, the purpose of the Lord shall stand. Huh? And now there's some cross references to that. Jeremiah 51:29. And Romans 9, verse 10 and 11 said, nevertheless, the plans of the Lord and the purpose of the Lord will stand. So no matter what you got planned, guess what's going to happen to your plans? Unless your plans match up with His plans, your plans is going down.
Not my will.
That's right. His will succeed and stand, and yours will fail, no matter what you think. You can think all you want to, and it's not going to happen, is it?
With all my free will.
Oh, it kind of blowed that out of the water, didn't it? Imagine that. He can get any of them, believe me. Verse 22. The desire of a man is his kindness, or the desirable thing in a man is his kindness. And a poor man is better than a liar. Had a preacher tell me just recently, he said, everybody lies. And I said, I beg to differ with you. I don't lie. Used to. Don't lie no more. Don't have no profit involved in it. There's no benefit in me lying. And he said, well, I lie. And I said, well, that'll make you a lying preacher, won't it? He said, well, I only lie when it's necessary. I said, well, justifying is just a lying. You just lie to yourself all the time. You know, that makes you a lying preacher.
He's sitting around long.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but they think it's okay if it's justified in their own mind to go ahead and lie.
Is a hyperbole a lie?
No. A hyperbole and hyperboles are in the scriptures. In the end of John, and that's where I found it first, in John it says, if all the things that Jesus did were written in books, the world could not contain the books. That's a hyperbole. You know that they could take all the things that he did and put it on the head of a match right now with the skills that they and the modern technology they have. That's not the issue. That was a point. He's just saying he did so many things that the people can't even comprehend it. It's called a hyperbole. And people don't know English, so they don't understand those words. And I use those words to help you understand so you can understand to share with someone else. It's not to say I know a word you don't know. But believe me, I've used it in a lot of places. And right to this day, if someone says something, I hear it probably 10 or 15 times a week when I'm sitting over at the restaurant in the mornings eating breakfast. Those guys will say, is that a hyperbole? They remember. They've never forgot that. Okay? I've got something in there whether they like it or not. They heard it. They got it. Okay. Verse 23. The fear of the Lord tends to life. And that word fear is a mistranslation. It should be reverence. Okay? Beg pardon? I just did 22. Yeah. The reverence of the Lord tends to life. And he that has it, life, shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. You know why he won't be visited with evil? Because evil comes from the heart of man. Every wicked and evil thing comes from the heart of man. That's according to what Jesus' own words were in the Gospels. Every evil thing proceeds from the heart of man. So the problems I have, where'd they come from?
Me.
From the heart of me. My own thinking process. And until I back up and look intelligently at these things, I'll always want to point out there and blame somebody else. But I realize that me did it. Me did it. I did it. Whether I realize it or not, until I get wised up, I can't even see that I did it. I always want to blame somebody else. And it's never the external source that's the problem. It's the internal source.
Once you realize that, you know the Lord's working on you. Until you, when you're constantly pointing outwardly, you won't allow that.
Well, it's the same as saying, the devil made me do it.
Right.
See? The devil made me. The devil didn't make you do nothing. The devil between your ears made you do it. Because you wanted to. See, he just concluded with you and said, okay, let's do it. And you said, okay. Verse 24. A slothful or a lazy man buries his hand in the dish and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. It says bosom, but it should be dish. He's saying a lazy man, and he's using this extreme example. The man's so lazy that he stuck his hand in a dish of, let's say, M&Ms, and too lazy to put them back in his mouth. Would you feed me? And that sounds like a lot of church folk, really. The preacher says, here's a bowl of food, and I set it out here, and you're supposed to dig into it and eat it.
Well, isn't that like the man that could put himself in the pool?
Well, he couldn't.
He couldn't.
That's not the same thing.
Okay.
You're in a different thing. See, he didn't have the ability to get in. There was nobody to pick him up, put him in. He was crippled.
All right.
We're talking about somebody that had all the capacity but too lazy to even reach over and pick up food and stick it in their own mouth.
Okay.
Okay, different story.
They won't go back and regurgitate.
They won't go back and search it out themselves, regurgitate it and re-chew it again.
Yeah.
They're not a clean beast, according to the book.
They won't go back and study and think about what was taught to them.
No.
They just gulp it down and that's it.
And swallow it and forget about it.
So it doesn't matter what you tell them. Just take it, they won't check it out. Right.
Right. Verse 25 says, smite a scorner or an arrogant talker. If you correct an arrogant talker, and the simple will be aware, beware. And reprove one that has understanding, and he will understand knowledge. So someone that has an ear to hear the truth, if you reprove them or correct them in something, they hear you. And the ones who have no understanding, when you correct them, they get angry. You know, people get angry and leave the room, stomp out, yell, scream, do all them things, curse you, you know, whatever. Those kind of things. Because they have no understanding. They don't have the ability to even consider the truth. But when you correct the one that has a little understanding, they'll say, wow, I was wrong. Need to back up and apologize for that and get this right. Okay. Verse 26. He that wastes his father, and that word waste isn't correct, it should be assaults. He that assaults his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings an embarrassment. Or becomes an embarrassment. Verse 27. Here's a good verse you got to really pay attention to make sense out of it. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Listen to what it says. Slow down. Think about this. Cease, my son. Or just turn around and say, my son, cease to hear the instruction that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. The words of knowledge are already in your heart. God put them there.
Would that be that continual dripping of that light?
Of the natural thinking of the natural man. Cease to hear that. So what's it saying? Listen to what the Word of God says. Listen to what the Spirit of God inside of you is teaching you versus what humanity is teaching you. Beg your pardon?
Your humanity.
What your humanity is trying to do. Cease from hearing that natural thought process and hear that understanding that comes from your spirit within. Verse 28, an ungodly witness mocks judgment, and the mouth of the wicked swallows down iniquity. They just gulp it down. Verse 29, judgments are prepared for the arrogant, not the scorners, but the arrogant, and stripes are for the back of the stupid ones. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And you know what? You only get beat up because you beat up yourself. God's not beating anybody. See, that concept comes from the people who don't know their Father. God is love. Now, you can't tell me He's a God of love with a big ball bat getting ready to bust my head like a ripe watermelon on the sidewalk on 4th of July. That's not love. If that's love, don't give none of it to me. I don't want none of that love. If you want a God that does things like that, then you go out there and make your own God and form Him out of clay or stone or gold or silver or wood, anything you want to. But my God is a spirit, and my God is love, and He does not hurt me. He will correct me when I need corrected. It's for my benefit, not His. I need corrected. He don't.
You're your own worst enemy.
And I am my only enemy. In the book even says, your enemies will be those of your own household. Guess where my house is? Right here, not there. See, again, if I point outside, anybody in my family is my enemy, that's because I'm stupid. I'm ignorant. I don't understand that I am my own worst enemy. It's my emotions and my feelings. And it takes years to come to this place where you understand that, my God, I have been my own enemy all my life. I have done the things that have destroyed me all my life. Every time I've come to a pinnacle of something that could have been great in my life, I destroyed it. I can sit back and look at every one of them and see myself as the fault. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I did it.
You were afraid to let it happen.
I was afraid to let somebody else take over. I wanted to be in control. But you know what? I don't have any issue now saying, I was stupid. I was plumb stupid. But you know what? It was for my benefit. I learned from every one of those experiences and made me who I am today. And I wouldn't trade that for the whole world. I wouldn't trade my life for... Who's that guy, the big rich guy Obama hangs out with? The old man. He's in the stock market, multi-billionaire. I can't say his name. Buffett, Warren Buffett. I wouldn't trade my life for Warren Buffett's money in a heartbeat. And people, well, you're crazy. No, I'm not. Because what he's got will pass away. He's getting old anyway. He's going to lose it here pretty soon anyway. No big deal. I ain't worried about it. I ain't got nothing. Why should I worry about anything if he ain't got nothing? If I had everything, why would I worry? If God gave it to me, who can take it from me? Only Him. And if I do things the way I'm supposed to, then how could I lose anything? See? You got to realize, this book of Proverbs is about learning how to deal with life every day. If we get away from all this religious stuff and learn what God wants us to learn, man, life can be a ball. I enjoy life, don't you?
Yes.
I do. I don't know what everybody else does. I enjoy life. To the fullest. When I leave here, there's nobody ever going to say, Dave didn't get a full life. Because if I leave today, man, I've had better than, I don't know anybody else had a better life than me. That's my wife. Because she got to share mine. She's got me and she gets to share hers too.
I'll leave on that.
Hey, God's got a sense of humor. We all got to have a sense of humor.